Hello, our dear viewers. We are very happy to be here with you with an additional program of Ask the Kabbalist. Hello, Rav Lightman. Hello, everyone. We've received plenty of questions from you today through our site and through Rav's blog and on the phone. We've collected all the best questions, and we shall ask them today. And we're inviting you to ask us additional questions on www.kab.tv or 1-700-509-209. First question that we'll open our show with, it came to you through your blog. Yuval Evan is asking, how does the Kabbalah explain the process of a man's dying? What do you feel before death, and what is the role of death? Why do you not die immediately? Okay, our whole life, from the moment we're born, it's actually death. It's actually dying, starving, because the body, it goes and approaches this. So it's impossible to say that we live and develop till the age of 20, 25, like the physiologists say, and then afterwards the body starts preparing itself for death. But it's the process that any living body goes through. What does it mean? Like, life is one big drive towards death. But in the beginning, there is a certain flourishment too. There's an up and then a down. But even if we take the end of this down, the process of starving. I remember in my home, my mother, she had cancer, and she was dying at home. They couldn't do anything further for her in the hospital, so she was dying at home. It's a special process. Why is it so? Unfortunately, this is the process. I've seen this many times when I was a student, and also my teacher, the Rabash, Rav Baruch Shalom Ashlag, he also passed away in front of my eyes. So what is the necessity of this process of dying? There is no need in this process of dying. We simply refer here to a person. We forget that in our body, we're like living, like any other living, like animals and beasts and birds, and they're all the same. There's no difference here, and man is no better than beast here. All are like beasts. But if we want to talk about man, man is that part in us that can compare, become similar to the Creator. And if we bring this part of becoming like the Creator, he becomes eternal like the Creator. This is the part of Adam, from the word domes, similar to the Creator. And our body has nothing to do to this, and you can't ascribe anything special to our body, but it's simply a beast, like all the rest of the beasts that you see before us in this world. Okay, that same beast, that physiological protein body that I have, and also a cow has. So it has the same process. But why, for instance, when the time comes, why it doesn't happen in a jiffy? It's a process of a body that goes and dies, and gradually the will to receive in it, it turns off, it's put out, and the ego in it ends and it dies. The power, what is the ego? The power to maintain life, the power to hold oneself up, to absorb, to inhale the good and exhale the bad things. This whole process of life disappears since our ego, on the beastly level, decreases and decreases till it disappears. Disappears meaning that it comes from the degree of the living to the degree of the still. A person, as if he is put out and his desires are put out simultaneously, yes. So there is a parallel process on the level of our desires, yes, but it's earthly desires. It's like a beast. I understand that it's like for a beast, but why is it? Because everything develops or comes down gradually through the 5 degrees of ascent, or the decline of the desire. Eventually, all of our desires are extinguished and we're dead, yes. At the end, before we truly reach the end, then the final degree is a degree of an outburst of the desire before it completely leaves its degree and shifts to the degree of the still. So from the smallest degree, there is again an outburst, and ordinarily we see in a person that's going to die that he feels himself a bit better for a few moments or hours before death. True. This matches the different processes we have in spirituality, but on purpose I don't want to make this comparison because people might think that there is something more than beastly in our body. So, in conclusion, what happens within us in our desires on the plane, on the dimension of our desires, it results in our body. Okay, next question, Liat from Haifa. Hello, the Kabbalist Rav Lightman. My question is, could there be such a condition that a person, he passes away and he'll feel better in the next incarnation as regarding of conditions of living, or God forbid, vice versa? Meaning, will he be born in a rich or a poor family? What determines these things? It does not depend on man. Because man here, there's no connection. Maybe there could be no connection from incarnation to incarnation. Only the souls that are male, they come to a male body, and female souls to a female body. And if it is a Jewish soul, a soul of a Jew, then it incarnates in a Jew. And the type of souls, meaning they actually define what will be the form of the body. But in general, with which qualities will he be born? In which conditions, external conditions, will he be born? Meaning external and internal conditions of the body itself. In what condition, in which society, etc. It's impossible to define in advance or foresee. Meaning it's possible, but for this you have to be on an extremely high spiritual level, since it is determined from there, because it depends on all the rest of the souls. Like we've explained it more than once, we are in a resource of souls tied with one another, like cogwheels. I hope you've seen our film of the cogwheels, where each one, when it turns all the others. And there is no freedom of motion for anyone, and therefore it depends on the whole mechanism of all souls, no matter what condition they're in towards the goal we have to reach. This is what actually defines what will be the fate of each and every one in the next incarnation. Therefore, it's impossible to calculate it, since it depends on all of our free choice, the conditions that we ourselves reach. It depends on us each moment. It can change. And accordingly, in short, one could say, we in this life determine the next incarnation, but all of us in general. And therefore, a person can't say that now in life I've made it so that in the next incarnation I'll have one thing or the other. There are many more participants here together with us, all these 7 billion souls in all of this incarnation. The next question comes through your blog, and Yaakov is writing, how is it possible to help people in special conditions or certain conditions, like the kidnapped soldier Gilad Shalit, kept for 2 years in captivity and imprisonment? How can we help? We can help this soldier and all the rest of the people that are in trouble, wherever they are, it doesn't matter, and whatever condition they're in, only by one action. If we shall unite together in love amongst us, by this we shall expel all obstructions on all degrees and will reach a state where nothing foreign, nothing evil will be able to harm us. Isn't there something specific towards which we can do this? It is a trouble towards the whole world, the whole nation, and towards a certain family, only by such an action. And in general, we have to understand that we're tied to each other, and only by the correct connection between us where we will accept our system that the people of Israel are friends and we have to be as one man and one heart, like in Matan Torah. And only under this condition can we actually be saved from all the troubles and return the prisoners home and reach a state where no enemy can touch us. Explain to me, how does this work? Let's say me and you, we connect in love more than we're connected now. It's not enough, you and me. Everyone? You need the people of Israel. In general, all of the people of Israel, not all, mostly. What you're saying is, let's say this happens, and among people in Israel, the love strengthens, and the unity and the connection. How does it have to do with what happens with him there in prison? Because all the powers that work on our world, they work in order to advance us towards the goal. Our goal is for all the souls to unite back into one soul of Adam HaRishon, and for this soul to be fulfilled by the upper light. It reaches adhesion with the Creator. Yes. And in this process, the Jews, the people of Israel, they determine everything, and the nations of the world, only in order to awaken us and push us for an awakening towards this goal. I'm not necessarily talking about our thing here between the nations of the world and the nations of the world and the Jews. We're talking about solving the problems of all people. For instance, someone is on a he's in a dangerous mission in South America, and we want to specifically help him. How does our connection and love help him specifically? No, him specifically, you can't help him. You have no ability to do this. I understand that it's only through the general system, but how does it work? Why, if the love between us increases, this certain individual in trouble, all individuals, and he is also amongst them. I'm not saying that necessarily he will feel better, but the whole world will feel better, and he along with all the others. It's impossible. There's no sentence towards one person. We're all, again, I'm telling you, we're all in a general system, which is, everyone is tied to everyone, and you can't say that in all of this system, which are cogwheels, you want to turn one cogwheel and not to turn the others. It's impossible. You have to cause the correct motion in the whole system. And then each cogwheel earns, gains. Yes, each cogwheel profits from this. And we all change so that all the big problems that put pressure on us, like security, like the big blows, they immediately disappear. So if we tie this to the previous answer you've given, suffering to a certain individual or the success of a certain individual is defined according to his place in the general system and all of the parameters you talked about previously. And also, if the majority want to change the situation of a single unique individual, they can do this, but only everyone turns together and all rise. And you're looking for a vitamin P. No, I'm not looking for a vitamin P. It's called so. Only in general, all of Israel are responsible for each other. This is the general law. Half a minute of recess and we'll continue. To start the morning differently, we're again with you in our TV show, Boker Or. It's a bit like stretching, eh? I have a good feeling. Ooh, precisely that. What do you mean? There are people that have no souls. Reincarnation to reincarnation to incarnation, especially fun. And then we get into a certain connection. An hour about Kabbalah, each morning 6 to 7. I try to fill myself throughout all previous generations, and I'm empty. What can I do? Boker Or. The next question is Marina's question. She writes through Cup TV and she asks, what do men want of their woman? How to protect this friendship between man and woman? Again, I'll repeat. What do men want from their women? This is number one. Number two, how to keep the relationship with a woman? And number three, why do men cheat? We are now in such a not natural society, synthetic society. We've created it throughout hundreds and thousands of years of our development. And so it's hard for us to imagine who we are according to nature, because if we take an example from the ancient world, a man went to the market to buy himself a woman. He used to turn to a certain man who has daughters, and he used to buy his wife. One man had a few women. If he wanted, or if he could pay for this, if he could allow it to himself, to his home and everything he has there, his herd and maybe industry, whatever he had there. The relation between man and his women, husband towards his women, was very strange if we look at it from today's perspective towards the past. And we cannot discuss here love or connection, because for us all these things, they're very unnatural and confused and mixed. The definitions, of course. Because what kind of love could there be, for instance, man and woman, if he does not buy her, or he marries her even if he did not see her? Meaning that his parents made a shidduch, yeah, they decided amongst themselves, the parents, that the children will get married, and this happens to this day in the Orthodox section. And it happens without love. And we see that, on the other hand, a guy in Tel Aviv, he lives with a girl for 10 years. They decide to get married after 10 years. After a month, they decide to get divorced. For 10 years, they know each other. After a month, after they signed, can't stand each other. Meaning, our life is something that is very different from the previous generations. And from our nature, we don't know our nature, the nature of man and woman. Man and woman according to nature, according to how it comes from earth, so-called. And to interpret what's written in the Torah, that a woman is a part of the man, flesh of my flesh, it's also a problem. We shall interpret it sometime according to Kabbalah, it will be clear. The whole matter, in order to understand what is the connection between man and woman, we have to interpret this whole act of Genesis, the creation of man and woman. I think that our world, first of all, making unisex equality. There is no women nor men. One size. Yes, this is already this reference, this attitude is not good. It erases the differences, makes everyone equal. Not according to the Torah, according to nature. Yeah. So we need, once again, like in Kabbalah, let's return to nature and learn who we are and how can we complete each other. And so it turns out that it's not precisely like in our world, and we can't judge according to our laws of what society demands of man and woman today for it to exist. And we see that as much as we try to bring all of our laws to certain better conditions, seemingly, we do not implement them. Men truly cheat, and it is a result, a very broad phenomena, and it's accepted in society whether you want it or not. And even if they don't, they stop living together and get divorced, there is a natural inclination on behalf of man here, and we have to find out whether it's correct or not. But to put it into a certain framework, yes, on the one hand. On the other hand, to see it in the proper proportion. On the other hand, the woman, she was detached from the home, from the children, thrown to work 10 hours a day. She's somewhere out there working with different men, women there, confused, intermingled, mixed. This is also a completely non-natural situation. Woman is called home. She's called home according to nature. She, women, the children, the home, the garden, that's her place. And whoever takes her out of the home brings different problems. But these are processes that I can't correct this, me as a private person. I only explain that today you can't say that what has to be according to nature. It's distant according to what's supposed to be according to nature from it. So we roll from one trouble to the next till people understand that we have to know choice. We have to know what the true nature is and accordingly to approach. Let's try to give an advice to Miss Marina. She's asking, I'll take a middle question and I'll ask how to keep this relationship going on behalf of a woman. Let's give her some answer. Can you give her some answer how to keep this going? She and her husband have to find a great, high, exalted subject that for it, for its sake, for its purpose, they are connected. And this could be only the mutual spiritual ascension. And in spiritual ascension, they truly have to be together. There is no other solution. We see this. Whoever goes for it, it's hard. It doesn't always succeed immediately. But eventually, only this spiritual connection, where it's truly man and woman are adhered and they become as one. There is no other solution in our world for this unit called family to keep together. The next question takes us to another subject that comes to us through Cub TV. The question is, how does a person overcome his the things that he can't overcome, his addictions? It could be sleep, drinking, drugs, TV. How do we overcome our addictions? And it makes us sad. How not to be sad? And we are addicted because of sadness. So we escape to the small pleasures, momentary, TV and other things. Who writes this? He doesn't write his name. No, it's also impossible to know if it's a he or a she. But these escapes to the small pleasures, it's like a barrel without, it's like an endless, the question is, how do you overcome this thing? Oh, that's very good. The Kabbalah, the Talmud Esel Smifirot starts with it. He asks, what is the meaning of my life? And by this, he comes to the Kabbalah, because he finds out that this life is empty, and you have to rise to a higher degree and to start developing in our corporeal, beastly life. There is no answer, what are we living for? A cow lives in order to be slaughtered and in order to be eaten. And why does a person live? He gives nothing. He only corrupts this world. If not for the higher need, he has no permission to live in this world. What is this higher need? It's to become like the Creator, to reach his degree. All shall know me from small to great. And then there are no more addictions. It's not addictions. You rise to a degree where there's no beginning or end of life or anything that is empty, goalless. Because this is how our life seems. Because I see that our beast lives and dies. So if it's hard for me to constantly hold it on this degree, then if I earn something from my life, I'm in a certain pleasure, then the pleasure usually lies to me for the time being. I'm like intoxicated. And this is how I drag myself around till I die. But if there's no pleasure where I could lie to myself that it's worthwhile for me to do this, to exist for the sake of this pleasure, this is a problem. You see, the whole world is in a certain despair. It's the number one illness in the world. I read on the news yesterday, on the net, that there was an ascent, an increasement of 25% using medicine against depression in Israel. It's a fourth of a jump. It's 25%. Yes, it's the whole world is this way today. we can't hold on without this. People that come to me, that call me up, it's all the nation, it's the whole nation, and also the world, as much as I see the statistics and all the data from different international organizations, it's terrible, but it's actually the correct process according to Kabbalah. We reach a state where truly you have to make a calculation that it's not worthwhile for us living. Let's close down the small Earth that's in some galaxy at the end of our universe, and let's leave it, and that's it. If a person lives merely as a beast in order to exist a few years, our ego develops and demands a fulfillment. Our ego develops now more than in all previous years, where it already says, what are you living for? The ego asks the person, because it wishes to reach the divine degree. It's called help against him. It's the Pharaoh brings the people of Israel closer to our Father in the heavens. How? By the troubles. So our body, that's the Pharaoh, that brings us troubles constantly on a regular basis, and by this obliges us to ask, what are we living for? Now, how to come out of this? There is no simple solution but to reach a method that raises a man to a degree where he sees what he's living for. In our life, it is impossible. So there are people going for drugs, there are those that commit suicide, there are those, and there are those that come to Kabbalah, and then they see the goal for which it is worthwhile existing for. Unfortunately, gladly, I can say that there is a solution, and a beautiful solution, and our life is great, and it has such a good goal. Only to rise a bit, to lift your hands a bit, and see forwards. Everything is ahead of you. The method, the books, the films, the lessons. Everything is opened. You can reach everything. Divinity, wholeness, infinite fulfillment, the sensation of development, of uplifting, of it all depends on the extent to which we seriously, a person seriously takes this question and does not exist within the question itself, where he eats himself. It says that a fool, he sits with his hands crossed and eats his flesh. So after this conversation, lift yourselves a bit. Get into the site, take books, start. Let's try and have a last question. We have about a minute. Amit from Kfar Saba writes to you. Is it true it's possible to talk to ghosts and spirits? I didn't try. There are no ghosts or spirits besides man and the Creator. There is nothing. All the rest are powers within man. The ghost, the spirit, Satan, the different angels, whatever you say. Whatever humanity will tell you about something that is above this world, all of this is within man, within the soul of a man, and these are the private powers of our soul. And besides our soul and God, there is nothing else in spirituality. And can a person talk to them? One sentence. It's not that he talks, he manages them. Thank you, Rav Lightman. The time is up for the first part. Come with us to the second part of our show on the net, on Cub TV, and have a good week and all the best.
שאל את המקובל עם הרב הדוקטור מיכאל לייטמן, ימי חמישי ב-9:00. שאלות יקבלו בטלפון 1-700-509-209, או דרך האתר www.kav.tv.
We're continuing with additional questions, and let's start where the question from the States, Esther from the States, writes to you through Cub TV. I'm in a place of work where it's hard for me on behalf of the criterions of this work and people, but I leave myself there because of desire to cope and the experience for the implementation of the wisdom of Kabbalah that I've tasted only recently. Is it correct to put yourself into sensitive conditions and trying to cope, or you should retreat to a quiet corner? First of all, I wouldn't recommend at the place of work to talk about Kabbalah at all. No, I don't think she's talking about it. I think she more talks about she towards herself. Will I get along with this situation? No, there is no sense in doing this. There's no necessity in being in a place where it's hard, where I'm being hated, rejected, and I cope with people there. I correct them by this or correct myself by this. No. This is not correct. You have to find an ordinary place of work where we can realize ourselves and be in peace with everyone in the normal connections, like it's acceptable on the street, no more, no less. But all of this relation, this warm relation, or vice versa, the opposite relation, the hatred and the pressure, it's worthwhile for a person to concentrate it against all of his egoistic powers towards himself. And the good relation and the love and the bestowal, he should concentrate it towards the group together with which he can advance. And this is what will be for him as a goal. And completely he should stop thinking that by these sufferings, external sufferings that he receives on his own, he'll advance by it. It's like fest, like different tortures a person undergoes. It has nothing to do with Kabbalah, vice versa. Our ego advances by this, and she takes pride by this. And therefore, there is no spiritual gain here, vice versa, harm. The next question comes through your blog. Efrat writes, does bread have a spiritual root? And if so, what is it? And why do you bless necessarily on the bread each Shabbat? A bread has a spiritual root because it's flour and water, and there is the bread of poverty, and if there are additions, it's ordinary bread. There is a spiritual root to it because it's the connection between Malchut and Bina. If we're talking about spiritual powers and bread, like we see that it always accompanies humanity, and the root of bread, it's also from our source, and the bread itself, the term of bread itself, I don't understand. What does it mean that the root of bread, it's from Babylon, and all those sorts that Israel was blessed by, it's actually from here they've developed and scattered around the whole world. And the term of bread we see, lechem banim, lechem oni, meaning the matzah, and all the things that have to do with bread and the Torah and in Kabbalah, it's being said a lot. We talk about it a lot. This is actually the fundamental thing in our foods, and therefore we have to ascribe to it really with respect. Spiritually, what does it symbolize? It symbolizes spiritually that our soul, when it's that it's fulfilled by the combination of the light chasadim and the light of chokhmah. Maybe you can explain it in a way for people to understand, even if they do not know the terminology, what our soul eats. Bread, spiritual bread. What is spiritual bread? Spiritual bread is the correct combination between the giving and reception. We've talked about the mechanism of cogwheels. And how do I turn with everyone together with my giving and with my, if my giving and reception is balanced towards everyone? I can't simply receive from everyone. It's my ego. I can't give everyone because I have nothing to give. What am I, a gas station that I can give everyone? Gas station. It also, it burns something and then it gives. So any cogwheel, each person has to receive from everyone and to give to everyone. So the proper balance between reception and giving It symbolizes for us the proper connection between the Malchut and the Bina. The Malchut is the desire to receive, and the Bina is the desire to bestow. These are parts within me, within my soul. Yes, within my soul. Flour, it's called Malchut, and water is the Bina. So the proper combination between water and flour, when a person makes bread out of it, it symbolizes for us the correct work and the proper combination with all the rest of the souls. Now, even after you mix between water and flour, it's not enough. You have to bake it, to burn it. This is already man's work, the work of man, where he takes the inner fire from the ketel and, let's say, he bakes it. So we have a bakery in our soul. Yes. And when we do this, we symbolize by it our correct relation to be as loyal partners to that same system of souls. And there are many other things, let's say bread and the temple and it's 12 breads and on Shabbat. And another time. This is for another time. This demands a bit of additional explanation. So, by the way, regarding whoever wants broader explanations like Rav Lightman explained now, I would like to remind you that all of these programs, they're intended to give some fundamental degree of understanding Kabbalah, and whoever wants to deepen into the wisdom is invited here to a special form of learning called Campus Kabbalah. There is evening and morning teachings, and it's divided into semesters and into years. And then the study is gradual, and it allows you to acquire knowledge in a way that opens for you the ability later on to approach the Kabbalah, all sorts of different books. Now, a question by phone. Please. I wanted to ask the Rav Lightman, what is the meaning of the word basad? Thank you, Miriam from Jerusalem. Basad, it's with the help of God. It's called Besiata Deshmaya, by the help of the heavens, by the help of the heaven, in support. It's in Aramaic. Besiata Deshmaya, it's in Aramaic. The heavens, it means the upper power, compared with... So when can we succeed if our desire will be fit, will match the upper desire. If there's only the upper desire, it's not man. This is how all of nature is managed. If it's only the desire of man, it's not aimed towards something correct. It has only also no ability to exist. It will only bring upon itself such powers and power, such problems and powers that will simply push him unpleasantly towards the goal. But only if there is a connection between man and the heavens, with the help of the heavens, the desire of the good desire and the desire of the Creator, they connect and go together as partners, then this thing can exist. And therefore, we as if pray, we ask for our desires to always be like desires from above. So this way, of course, we shall succeed. Let's have half a minute of advertisements and continue. What is Or Makif? Ooh. Boker O, the morning show that will make your day. Sunday through Wednesday, 6 till 7. Thursday and Friday, 6 till 7:30.
שיעורי קבלה בשידור חי.
קבלה lessons live.
כל יום משלוש לפנות בוקר ועד שש.
Daily, 3 to 6. AM. The next question is a question of Iris. She writes to Cup TV. What is the meaning of do not make yourself a statue or any picture, because in corporeality it means do not put statues or pictures in different forms and ways at your home, it brings problems. No. Of course, it doesn't matter what we do in corporeality, but there is a custom both in corporeality, of course, not to do anything sculpture and a picture. We can put, you see, the pictures of rabbis, of great people. We put it in different places, the pictures of children. The meaning is that do not make pesel v'dmut, a sculpture nor a figure, that it would be for you something that is an upper force for you. When you begin to ascribe to these things a special power that works on your path in life, your destiny, this is forbidden. For instance, I put a red string, so I already ascribe to it a special power for it to keep me and aim me correctly at life. I'm no longer talking about the Creator, that I have to connect to Him and I have to reach Him. A red string is enough, and if it's not enough, I'll have two red strings or something in the spirit of those things. I no longer need the upper force or to advance towards Him, like it said, to cleave onto Him, which is our purpose, to reach adhesion with the Creator, to reach a degree where we unite with Him in soul. But it's enough for me to know that according to astrology or according to the Tarot cards, I arrange my destiny, and it's not worthwhile going here or there or doing one thing or another. If a person, he lays his faith on the different powers and not he and the connection with Him, this is sculpture and picture. The next phone question, Hannah is asking, I wanted to know, when one has physical pain, does it mean the body is transcending, the soul is transcending the body? Is it possible not to think about this pain? During the pain, you think, in short, does physical pain help the spiritual transcendence? The whole relationship between physical pain and there is a connection. When you hurt, what do you do? What kind of a connection is there? The physical pain and the source of all pain is that we invite them, since we do not yet, we have not yet realized the reshimo, the process that we were supposed to come to. Let's say a 3-year-old child. Let's say a 10-year-old child, and he stays developed like a 5-year-old. So we give him different treatments and everything. What can you do? But if we're late, if we fall behind with the development of our soul, that with my soul I have to be at the age of 10 and I'm still at the age of 5, then the gap between these ages, by it, I invite upon myself problems, different pressures from different directions, on the bodily degree, spiritual degree, mental degree, not spiritual, mental degree, all kinds. Why? These are powers that push me towards change. After many years of escaping, of doing here and there, maybe I'll arrange it so my life, one way or another, will reach a condition that we cannot change our life for the good, but we feel bad from all sides, and then we reach a condition where people eventually reach the proper solution, the development of the soul. This is what we have to do. Say all of the evil powers are only in order to push us to develop the soul, because this is the only thing we want. Let's say a person begins to develop his soul, and he receives a certain illness, a pain in his body when he develops the soul. He's already in a process of development. He's ill, extremely suffers physical pain. During this physical hard state here, does he have to realize something internal, a certain internal work? Yes. What is it? Even more to invest himself in the development of the soul. There is nothing else. Only the upper light is healing all his flesh. And it's harder for him. the physical suffering as if swallows him and you can't do anything about it. You have no other solution. You have to. You'd go to the doctors. Okay, we're not talking about it. Okay, this is obvious. The doctor has the permission to cure, but beyond doing this, besides going to the doctor, besides doing everything that you need on the plane of this work to ask ordinarily like everyone does, you'll know that the solution is actually by attracting the light that reforms. When you continue the light that fulfills the soul, by this the soul advances and you neutralize those evil powers working on you only in order to develop the soul. So if it's impossible to ask about this, why do the greatest Kabbalists that reach the highest possible degrees, why are they also ill? True. They're also falling behind like the age of 10 and 5 like you told us previously? No. We see the greatest Kabbalists, Rashbi, Rabbi Akiva, and Bala Sulam we've seen and everything. We've seen and we have knowledge about the life of these great ones because a Kabbalist, and each one of us, he's tied to the whole system around us. Meaning the whole system of souls that are like cogwheels. Someone turns in a wrong direction, it returns to that Kabbalist nonetheless, till the final correction where all the souls reach the proper mixture of the mutual guarantee, mutual arvut, mutual responsibility, mutual recognition. We do not have the state of that righteous feels bad and the way the verse goes. So let's, and it's so till the end of correction. So, okay, I'm asking, at the age of 10, you behave like that. At the age of 5, you'd get different troubles amongst it, like illnesses also. When you'll be the great Kabbalist, you'll also get illnesses because the last fall behind and stay at the age of 5. So why should I exert myself in this ascent? Eventually I'll get cancer. I don't know. You do this only in order, you make the ascent only in order to not be ill. I don't know, there should be a different motivation, I think. A person that wants to ascend with his soul, he doesn't do it for the purpose of being healthy. He has urges to reach eternity, wholeness, coming closer to divinity, uniting with the upper force. He has urges above this desire, above the corporeal body with all its problems. It's simply impossible to compare. But when a person reaches Kabbalah, then to begin with, when he reaches it truly, he asks about the meaning of my life, why am I suffering? But very quickly, as he gets into Kabbalah, he sees what is life, its meaning, why is it aimed, what is it aimed for, it disappears. He has only one great problem of how do I reach that spiritual goal? How do I transcend eternity? How do I reach eternity? It's not about the corporeal life. Okay. A question from a different direction. Orit Cohen is asking through Cup TV, what can I do in order to cause silence and to have a quiet house without any quarrels, not to fight with my husband and daughter? We already talked about it, I think, in the first part of the show. If you want to have peace at home, you have to have partnership. Partnership on a highest possible degree, a spiritual partnership, meaning we have to achieve a state where a husband and a wife will have the same spiritual goal. And this is what will tie them. And by this, they will be like one soul. Because the souls of man and woman, when they connect, they create this term of one soul. And here there's mutuality and mutual health and the ability to support one another in approaching the goal. And for the sake of this, it is worthwhile for them to be together and worthwhile giving up all those other small things. She also mentioned the daughter. You're talking about a family. a father, a mother, a daughter, children, that all turn into one ascended, transcendent process. Eventually, why does this family exist? What? Simply to exist and procreate children, and they'll procreate their children. Simple beastliness. This is not the goal. The nature, it compels us to rise to a higher degree, for us not to live only for the sake of this. Whether you want it or not, you must live for the purpose of creation, to reach the degree of divinity. Each one must do this. This, therefore, it is the reason for all these problems and troubles. And if we understand this, and even if we want to feel good in family with our children, it's worthwhile for us to hear what Kabbalah says. Take a spiritual process. It ties people wonderfully. I have another question regarding the matter. There are many conditions where in the house, only one person, the father or the mother, only he or she are attracted to the spiritual development, and the others aren't. What do you recommend to do in such a condition? Because many times there are people that as if try to force their interest in spirituality towards the other person at home. I always say about this that it's forbidden to coerce. There is no coercion in spirituality. If your partner doesn't want it, do not pressure. But to show with all the nice power, in different ways to show that you would have connected to your partner extremely or very much if you were tied to this together. And I think that ordinarily in a family it's understood and they start to connect, but not to put pressure under any terms. No, not to oblige. Anyway, not to oblige. Let's move to the question of Dorit that writes to you through the blog. What is the meaning of precepts between man and his friend and man and the Creator? Man and his friend, we must achieve love another as thyself. This is the obligation. It's written. It's a great law in the Torah. We're in this world in all of our corrupted nature only in order to achieve the opposite of our nature, from the unfounded hatred, from the hatred of man to love of man and each one in the whole world. This is the goal, as much as it seems unrealistic, but this is the goal and we will have to achieve this. And when we achieve this, when we achieve such a connection between us called the love of the others, we even start connecting a bit. We immediately discover in the connection between us the Creator, divinity, because it's revealed necessarily in the connection between us. Therefore, the condition for the revelation of the Creator at the state of Mount Sinai was, if you connect together in Arvut, in bond, then I will be revealed to you. So where is the matter of mitzvot here? Precepts. These are called the mitzvah, the precepts. All of my desire, all of my 613 egoistic desires, I invert them towards the fellow man. I want to serve him. I want to be in the circle of all of these 7 billion small cogwheels. I want, by all my powers, desire to bestow upon them, to help them, to support them. Like Bala Sulam explains to us, give them, help them. Think about their well-being, and then what? If you connect with them this way, you start in the connection between you and the others to feel divinity, and then you achieve from love another as thyself to love the Creator, your Lord. And it's in the precepts between man and his place. Yes, from that you turn to the mitzvah between man and his friend. Because this is the main thing, because it brings you to man and the place. It's like two levels of our spiritual development. Yes, if we already mentioned this development, what is this expression? The place is, you manufacture this place where the Creator is revealed. Where is this place? It's the connection between us. When there's no connection, there's no place for him to be revealed. When you connect these cogwheels together, they get along in harmony between them. Then the upper light is revealed. It says, blessed is the place that we have created for him. So this is the place, the connection between us. Nice. It sounds so simple. And he's here, this place, only that we do not arrange it. We're not on the spot. This deficit for divinity, for the Creator to be revealed. Let's take a question from the blog. Someone writes, how about envy? I am jealous of anything that moves. What can I do? So I envy him? Because envy, it's something extremely great. By envying the others, it's a great power of development. I remember myself being young. I've envied people who are smart, who are great. He has revealed that, and he revealed this, and the Nobel Prize. I used to be very envious of them. I was like, it hurt me. Why am I not, and when will I be? But there is like a perception that you don't talk about, that there is like this perception that to be envious or jealous, it's not that nice or good. No, vice versa. We have nothing evil in us. It depends only how we use it. As if when I'm envious, no. This is, but if I envy someone that I see that there is something in him, so I can either want him not to have it, but it's also possible that I want me to have it also. So why is it bad? I can thank him. I can come to him and say, thank you very much. I've seen such a great thing in you. I wish to also attain it. So why not? Look what a crane for development. If we wouldn't have been envious of each other, our society would have developed. No, this is okay. Now you're talking abstractly, and I'm saying, well, really sounds great. No, I see that you succeed in a certain business. I open a business. Let's go down to the kiosk, ask why did he open beside the other kiosk, and I see that you're succeeding, but he only wants him to burn down. Yes, it's true on the one hand, but it pushes us to develop, and therefore, kinat soflin terbe chokhma, a good envy brings wisdom. They also are envious of each other in attainment, Kabbalists. I envy Rabbi Shimon. He reached such a degree, Rabbi Moses, he reached such a degree. I'm envious of him. Why not? I also want to talk to the Creator like he did face to face. You're looking at me. I also want it. I also want it. It's not bad, but it doesn't sound negative. It sounds like something pushing me like an engine. The matter is how to teach a person to use envy correctly, but God forbid not to destroy it. Otherwise, what will happen with him? He'll stay an invalid. Okay, so that's the thing. We can take this power in us and turn it in a positive direction. It's possible, of course. And then you bless each and every detail in you. You bless the Creator for laziness. Laziness. Why? Because you don't do anything that is surplus, that is unneeded. You don't run after each foolish thing because it's hard for you to move your nature. And otherwise you would have maybe try to catch 1,000 different things and you would have missed the main thing. Each thing we try to bring to balance, and suddenly you see a person harmoniously when needed uses this, then uses that. He can also be awake, and he can wake up, he can be lazy, and in every place. We're built in a magnificent way. We only don't know how to bring this and use this in harmony. We have half a minute. Last question. Why is the ego bad? Ego is not bad. Also depends how you move it. Help against him. Use it correctly. Take all of your ego. You want to be above the whole world and connect with the Creator. Please, by this you'll reach a condition where you have to serve everyone, love everyone, and then you'll be like the Creator, like he does it. Thank you, Rav Lightman. Our time is finished. Be with us for our next show. Until then, goodbye and all the best.